Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we go back out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to talk with former Cleveland Browns running back, Leroy Horde, who joins us now. Leroy, how's it going, my man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, man. What's up, bro?
Nothing at all but these Browns.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah, that's how we feel. We were talking earlier this morning, Leroy, about kind of the state of this organization, where they go from here as they assess the current state of the roster and all these different things. And Garrett and I kind of see it differently, but Andrew Berry spoke about whether or not they need to blow this roster up or if they can try to kind of just manipulate some things and continue forward. Where do you think the Browns go from here? Does it need to be a full-fledged blow-up and rebuild?
Here's the problem. And if I take and put a quarterback in there, we're not having this conversation. So why would you blow the whole thing up when in reality you're looking for one position? And that will fix a lot of stuff. Now, you're having a lot of problems, and you can say you're struggling on defense, but you're asking them guys week after week, year after year, to keep it close. And they have done a pretty good job of that. So you want to blow that up too? So that's kind of where I stand on that. Now, it is one of the hardest positions to find. But if you blow up everything, you're still looking for a quarterback. You got to start somewhere. You got to have something that'll kind of keep you in it until you find that position. Here's the problem. The defense is getting older. And you're not going to have that luxury for 3, 4, 5 years. So now what do you do? So there's a lot of decisions that need to be made. And who's to say, and look, when the Browns got Deshaun Watson, there were a lot of people said, we won. We won. We got the guy we can't never get. It didn't work out. So you also have to consider that, you know, every move you make from an organizational standpoint doesn't work. It doesn't mean that you didn't make the right move. I mean, look at Baker now. Baker's playing decent football.
Yeah.
That didn't mean the Browns made a bad decision. He was banged up, and they decided that it wasn't worth the long-term contract.
Leroy, when you look at it, and we talk about blowing it up, not blowing it up, who do you think – is going to be the fall guy, or do you think it will be a fall guy? I think it is kind of difficult if the Browns continue on this stretch, if they continue to lose, that somebody is some changes aren't going to be made. That's just the reality of the league. The changes are going to be made. It's just about who and when and what. You know, when we look at it and we were comparing Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, if it were you, how would you decide if there it is said that someone has to make a move and someone needs to be outed? How do you decide which one of those two individuals are going to be on the hook for what happened this year?
Well, I'm going to have a hard time getting rid of Kevin Stefanski. That guy's won with all them quarterbacks, all the different changes on offense, still able to win some football games. So he's proven that he's a good football coach. But when you're a fan, you know, I have this saying, the streets need a body. They need to change something, do something. Somebody got to pay. Somebody got to pay for my misery. But it's very simple. And I know it's going to sound harsh. Decided we had to have Deshaun Watson. That's it.
I don't know. The thing with that, Leroy, is like it's hard to assess right now who did have the most decision-making power in choosing Deshaun Watson, because the aura, the way the team phrases it is always that it was a group effort. Andrew Berry this week said everybody was on board with it. But to your point, like, I think we might get that answer based off of who gets pushed out of the organization or doesn't at the end of the season.
Correct. But here, my question to you is, what if the owner said, I want him?
Yeah. I mean, he can't fire himself. Like,
that's the thing.
Right. Right. And so while we sitting here wanting to put it on Kevin Stefanski and Barry, because those are the people that talk, that decision could have came from up high. Somebody above them could have made that decision and handcuffed him. So how are you going to view that if at the end of the day they keep both of those guys? You see, because everybody's going to say, well, this guy didn't do his job or this guy didn't do this job. Well, as an organization, you have to be honest about the situation and deal with it and move forward. And if you can do that, and, you know, there are going to be some fans that are going to be upset because they're going to, you know, you want to blame the people you see. And so, yeah, a lot of this heat is going on Kevin Stefanski and Barry, when the fact of the matter is it could have been the owner. Could have been somebody above them.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. If your boss come in and say, this is what we're going to do, you're going to be on board. When somebody asks you, I don't care what company you work for, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Team effort, team effort. No, what your boss told you to do. God
Hey, how you think I got on the radio today? Your boss told me to do it. It is what it is.
but that's facts.
Yeah.
So it's easy, and for somebody on the outside looking in, trying to say, okay, well, this guy's responsible for, you know, the roster, and this guy's responsible for coaching them up. Every now and then, an owner says, I want it.
Leroy Hoard joined us on the show, former Browns running back. Well, you mentioned that the Browns are just maybe one piece away, that piece being the quarterback position. You actually have a pretty unique view of one of these highly touted quarterbacks coming out of college, being down in South Florida, and sort of seeing Cam Ward firsthand. What do you make of him, and where does he sort of fit for you in the class of quarterbacks that's coming out this year? Is it somebody the Browns should consider?
Oh, my goodness. He might be the first quarterback taken, and it's not even close. The manner in which he handles himself, the calmness, and the effort that he puts into it, meaning that everything looks effortless, every pass, every scramble. You watch him, and he almost seems too laid back. He'll be the first quarterback taken, at worst the second. And it's not even close. When you watch him throw the ball, the different ways he throws the football, the calmness in which he moves around the pocket. You look at him and say, okay, just with his sheer, the way he handles himself in the pocket, nothing's going to get to him, and we got a chance with him. So, watching him every week. Now, I will say this. He does take chances. He does take some chances. But guess what? There ain't never been a hole Miami has been in. Dug him out. Just with that.
Leroy, I saw him play last week, or maybe this is a week or week before that. They were playing Duke, and Duke was competing. I said, "Oh, listen, look at this."
Then they won.
And then all of a sudden, I looked up, and they got 50 some odd points. I said, "Dog, he didn't score. Hey, quick, effortless game."
Right. It's like. And as a fan and watching it and covering it every week and being in sports my whole life, you always say, this can't continue. You can't keep putting yourself in these situations. And I tell you what, week after week after week, they got down in Cal. They got down with the Virginia Tech. They got everybody. And it seems like, oh, we got this. And it, as a fan, you're nervous as hell. You know, as a person following it, because, you know talent-wise, you have a better team than this. Here's the other thing. He is making up for a defense that gives 30 to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happens when you play in the ACC, though, Leroy. I'm just kidding.
Here's the only thing I wonder about Cam Ward. If he gets on the team with a good defense or a quality defense, is he going to realize he don't have to take all those chances?
Yeah.
So put him in a situation like, say, Patrick Mahomes 4 years ago and Patrick Mahomes today.
Well, Cleveland's got a good defense.
Yeah, I don't know. Will Spencer? I don't know if they're gonna lose enough games to get him.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's like eight teams that all have like two losses right now. Yeah, so I just have to see. Leroy Horde, former Browns running back, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Leroy, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes today, my man. We appreciate your insight on Cam Ward. If people weren't convinced already on him, I think they're starting to get there now.
Hey, watch him. Just give a little looky-loo and just watch. Just don't even watch how many yards he throws for. Don't watch the plays he makes. Just watch how he handles himself on the football field, and you'll be sold. That's it. Watch how he handles himself on the football field, and you'll say to yourself, that guy could be our leader. And there's a lot of teams thinking that.
Leroy, thanks for the time, my man.
Appreciate it, man.
Okay. All right.
Later.
Good stuff from Leroy Horde, former Browns running back in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I mean, I thought his insight into Cam Ward was great. Like, if you weren't excited about him as a potential option for Cleveland, you should be now. And I've kind of been riding this train for a while. I still think Shador might be number one, but I do think he's a close second, or he's at least made himself a close second. And we all know by the time the draft actually rolls around, these things change like a dozen times. There's going to be people talking to Quinn Ewers at some point. So
yeah,
that's going to happen.
Yeah, Cam Ward remind me a lot of Deshaun Watson when he came out. I think Cam, he has a lot of arm angles, though.
Yeah.
He does it in a lot of ways. It'd be interesting to see.
He's a special player. We'll get to some callers here. Leroy Horde G. Bush agreed with me that they don't need to blow it up, and they are just maybe one position away, and that position is the quarterback position. I know it's not easy to land those guys. You got to evaluate correctly with this class, and if Cam Ward's the guy, I'm even more excited than I've already been about the potential of Cam Ward. And you're right, like, they got to lose enough to get in a position to draft him. But this is why I feel this way. I don't think that it has to just be tear it all down to the studs and start all over. Now, and part of this too, G, it, like, that I do believe that in my heart of hearts, like, if they get a quarterback, that could be the quick fix to all this, right? But the other part of this too, I got to admit, like, that some of it is just denial. Like, I'm not down with the rebuild because I don't want to accept that that probably is the truth of what they have to do. I don't want to accept that all these years of suck to finally get the playoffs and finally get a win over the Steelers and get the roster to a point where it is right now, where you can look and it's not devoid of talent and you can see a Myles Garrett and you can see a Nick Chubb and you can see a Denzel Ward and you can see an offensive line that at one point was one of the best in football. Like, I don't want to know that we wasted 8 years of Myles Garrett. I don't want to know that we wasted the prime of many of these guys' careers. I want to extend this thing as long as I can. So I'm living in this world where it's like, if they just get the quarterback, maybe that can correct things, and they draft the right guy, it's something to get excited about as fans, and the team can maybe build around him, and then you sort of leave all the Deshaun stuff in the back, and the contract's still there, but we can just kind of get past it smoothly. That's where my mind is, because I'm afraid to go back to that and have to start all over, because we waited so long to have this team get to just where it is right now.
Yeah, it's a little bit of denial. And here's how I'll explain that. Right. It sounds good and just. It sounds great. I just get a quarterback, plug him in. All right. So just follow me along here. How do you get a quarterback?
I mean, you try to do it through the draft, right?
Okay. So you want to do it through the draft. That means you're going to need what? At best, a three wins. So you can win one more time the rest of the year. And you could possibly get Cam Ward. Possibly.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's far-fetched just to begin with, because your team is already good. You got Myles Garrett. He can win games by himself.
Yeah. Like,
so say, for instance, you end up with, I don't know, say the 12th pick, 11th pick. What quarterback are you getting there? You're not getting no quarterback. Those quarterbacks are going to be gone in the top 10.
Unless you give up another three first-round picks to move up.
Oh, so here you go again.
And you mortgage the future again.
Yeah. Okay, so, and by the way, you got this nice guy in receiver or quarterback, but what receiver are you getting? You don't have.
He's throwing to Jerry Judy.
You throwing to Jerry Judy. Elijah Moore is a free agent.
Tillman.
Cedric Tillman is. If Cedric Tillman is a nice number two, you'll take it. But you're still slow. You don't have any playmakers.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, left tackle. What are you doing over there? Are you going to go with DeJuan Jones? He's been playing better, but he's still great out in the 40s.
Yeah.
What about hey, where are your other playmakers? You got JOK, Denzel Ward, and you got Myles Garrett. Where are the other playmakers?
And that's the thing, man. Like, it's frustrating to have to accept that reality. Like, this was supposed to all be worth it in the end. Like, you're supposed to get more than two trips to the playoffs and one playoff win. And I don't want to have to look back and be like, man, we already did this with Joe Thomas, right? We wasted Joe Thomas's entire career here.
We haven't even talked about cap ramifications.
You're going to do the same thing with Myles Garrett now? Like, and also, like, I'll throw in to bolster your argument, G, like, I'm sitting here saying, like, just get a quarterback. This organization hasn't been able to draft quarterbacks. And the one they did draft, they moved on from after 4 years because he didn't have it between the ears and he was immature. So it's like, everything is telling. In my heart of hearts, I know that a rebuild is probably the way they're going to have to go, because
they don't have enough capital.
What evidence do I have that they can get themselves out of this, really? But that's part of, like, what being a daydreaming fan is like, we think that there's always just that one piece that's going to put us over the top. And I do think if the Browns get a quarterback, that does solve a lot of their problems. They'll still have others, yes, that they'll have to figure out. But, like, again, it takes a lot just to get that one player right.
Think about it.
It's frustrating, man. It's so frustrating.
The Panthers thought they had it with Bryce Young. They had the number one overall pick. Hey, Anthony Richardson. They thought they had it with the Colts, right? Everybody told you, go out and get Anthony Richardson. Listen, he's going to be a fantasy darling. He's going to be running. He's going to be passing. And then it looks like he can't complete any passes because he doesn't know how to read defenses and anticipate throwing windows. And on top of that, add the fact that you can't even get rid of Deshaun Watson, or it's almost $100 million cap hit. So he's still going to be on your roster. So
I mean, I've already thrown out the idea, G. Bush, that I feel like the way this is trending, he's going to be on the roster. They're going to do what the Texans did that last year was there. It's going to be a 52-man roster, technically, with the 53rd one being Deshaun. He just probably won't really be around. He'll just kind of be there. He might run scout team defense like he did in Houston that year.
They'll send him home. So here's the thing. Your best hope is maybe it's Jameis Winston, which you saw what the good Jameis is and the bad Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Or if by some realm of impossibility that DTR decides that he can't do backflips over people and stays healthy, kid can't stay healthy. He plays one game, he's injured. Or he turns out to be a long-term answer. But, I mean, yes, you saw the free agent list. The guys are Sam Darnold. And by the way, if you want a receiver, the top guy is T. Higgins. Are you willing to overpay for T. Higgins?
Nah, I mean, they're going to have to figure that. If they pay somebody like that, they can always move the money later in the deal like they've been doing. But that just adds to this bill that eventually is going to come due. Like, it's an impossible situation, man. And I recognize that. I just don't fully want to accept it. I want to believe that there's a way they can navigate this thing and stay competitive like Andrew Berry pitched. But, like, the more and more we talk about it, and I'm glad that Leroy is on my side. But it sounds so simple just to say get a quarterback. But like you said, G. Bush, like it's not that easy. It's not easy just to get that quarterback. This team's been trying to do that for years. They still haven't gotten it right. Let's go to the phones here. Mike in Shaker Heights, you're up first here. What's up, Mike?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, man. You know, it's so frustrating. I think that the problem is definitely in the front office. I don't trust this team to evaluate talent, to develop talent, to put talent in the best position to win. And it just starts with the GM, ownership. So our hands are really tied behind our back, because if we tank this year, another season of tanking, do we trust the management to pick the right person for tanking? If we win, do we trust management to take the best player at 11, at, you know, the later round?
Yeah.
We don't trust the people making decisions. And to think that they want to get his team a new stadium. Who want to show up to see this crap, man? We so tired of the G. Bush said, when we lose a lineman, now our season is over. the losing mentality here is just so draining and demoralizing. Other teams is so next man up, but we just got this, oh, the world is over because we down a starter. And it's just.
Yeah.
It's just draining, man.
Mike, appreciate the call. Yeah, and like last year, it felt like this team did have that next man up mentality. They made the playoffs that way. I will say this, like, everyone talks about this new stadium, and if you can't, you got to sell the fan base on it. Like, guys, no offense, but y'all have sat through the worst of the worst. Y'all sat through 0-16. Like, people will show up to the new stadium. They will, but it obviously helps. If you can have this team in a place where they're winning, that's going to make the idea of moving the team out of downtown and all that's going to soften that blow. It's going to make the stadium seem even better than it's already going to be. So those things definitely help from a marketing standpoint. But we know Browns fans, they're going to show up regardless.
This is hurt. Let's talk about this. This hurts. This hurts a bad. You went 1-31. And Baker Mayfield, he looks like he's going to be a serviceable quarterback. But you're going to have to pay the price for passing on Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You're going to pay. Like, you can't pass on an MVP.
Even Sam Darnold looks pretty good this year.
You can't pass. you can't pass on generational-type quarterbacks, and then those quarterbacks end up in your own division, end up in the AFC. So now, you're not just looking for a quarterback. You need somebody to beat Lamar Jackson. You need somebody to beat Patrick Mahomes. You need somebody to beat Burrow. You need somebody to beat Allen. You can just continue. You can't even beat Justin Herbert. What are we doing?
Mike also said it, but like the idea that you need to tank to get one of these quarterbacks, and we're already saying like we have questions about this class as a whole. It almost feels like this is the worst year almost to be bad.
Yes.
You needed to be like you needed one more good year, and then if you were going to be bad, it needed to be next year.
That was it.
Because next year you have now next year you have to have the first pick if you're because nobody in their right mind is trading out of the chance to draft Arch Manning unless it's like the Chiefs are so like they Patrick Mahomes gets hurt and they suck so bad that they had the first pick and they're like, we don't need Arch Manning, we'll just keep Patrick Mahomes, we'll trade out. But like other than that, you would have had to really be bad. But like this is the worst year to bottom out because there's so many questions with all these quarterbacks.
It's even worse because the free agent class, at least you could say, look, hey, we'll go out and overpay for a receiver that's young.
Yeah.
And get him in here. And then next year will be terrible. And then we get the quarterback. We could do kind of the reverse Cincinnati thing. You know, you got Joe Burrow and you got Chase. Maybe we could get our Jamar Chase and then get the Burrow next year.
And then get the quarterback.
No. There's not even guys available. T. Higgins, that's the best you're going to get on the open market this year?
He's going to be hurt every other game.
Come on.
Let's go.
He doesn't play now.
Let's go back out to the phones. Aunt Bev, always a pleasure to hear from her. What's up, Aunt Bev?
Good morning, gentlemen. My nephew... I'm ready to give you a whooping this morning. I completely disagree with you both, okay?
Okay.
I'm tired of our small-minded mentalities that all the problems begin and end with Deshaun. You watch Deshaun get up out of here and do well with somebody else. The true quarterback to me, like the gentleman said before, is the front office. How come whenever we have a successful season, the front office tries to get smart instead of be football wise, and then what happens the next year? Look at the history. We have a successful season, the front office makes a move, then we have a terrible season. Something happens where the coach has to be able to coach because the front office can't do anything. We have a successful season. They get smart. Now look at this year. So I don't trust them. Who's in the room, the grown man in the room that knows how to handle success? Look at what John Dorsey is doing in Detroit. Even though he did pick Baker, but who do you trust?
Yeah.
And secondly, I don't mind our teams being under the radar because since LeBron, what team have we had that was able to perform under pressure?
All right, Aunt Bev.
And under expectation.
All right, Aunt Bev.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your call as always. I've always subscribed to the idea that when the Cleveland teams are under the radar, it's better for them. Mitch has the floor. It is his segment. Mitch, as Kent Karma would say, take away.
Here we go. Nine and Dime podcast. It's coming to us from the Los Angeles Rams YouTube channel with Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. They had another receiver, Puka Nacua, on this week, and Puka making a bold claim that he could go from the Shield to the Association.
I think it would be so easy to transition from the NFL to the NBA, like night and like less than 3 months, coach, probably like 3 to 6 months. I truly believe that I could transition to play a point guard or a shooting guard for one of the 32 teams that are in the NBA. If we go to the Detroit Pistons, like if that's like if I know that's where I'm going, coach,
depends on the team.
Yeah, you're going to play me 15 minutes. The Lakers, like, no, I'm going to be the 15th man. Like, when we go 72-9, like, I'll play the last game of the season.
Didn't we just do this, like, over the summer? Was it Austin Rivers that said he thinks the transition to the NFL is, like, easy for an NBA player, but it's not as easy for an NFL player to go to the NBA? Am I right about that?
Yeah, something like that.
He said that you could take 30 players in the NBA
and put them in the NFL.
Yes, but you can't do the opposite.
You can't do the same with the NFL to the NBA.
Yes.
I think this is interesting. It's funny because I know Miles is a big NBA guy. That whole thing with Austin Rivers' comments, that came out like during the summer and like right before training camp. And I remember I asked Miles about it, and he said he thought he could do it, but he also said like, I understand where he's coming from. Like it the NBA, people think it's like so easy, but he was like, but it's not that easy to like go out there and do everything that they do on a nightly basis and be able to be efficient as a player.
Stop. People need to stop with this, man. It's all cap. I played baseball, basketball, and football in high school, and it takes a completely different skill set. I always tell people this. I played both ways, never came off the field. When basketball season came, we were just talking about just going from one season to the other, I was dying. I could not breathe. And I'm like, this is my end shape. Basketball is consistent motion, it's consistent jumping, it's consistent plyometric. Yeah. You got to guard people that are smaller than you running off screens.
The other thing, Puka Nacua is 6'2". He's 6'2".
We're over here talking about Darius Garland.
We have the smallest backcourt in the NBA, and Donovan's 6'3".
Yeah, that was the next point I was going to make. Was I think the height part of this is the biggest equation, because these guys are like, oh, I can go do this, but like with how, especially how the NBA's changed. How are you stopping Wemby? Like who in the NFL is stopping Wemby?
We look at Miles and go, okay, maybe Miles could do it because we've seen him play pickup games and stuff. And body wise, he is a giant, presence, on the football field, but he's still
6'5".
But it's funny you say that, because it's like Miles is like.
Sure.
A freak of nature. But like I'm saying, like physically, he could probably do it because he's a freak of nature athlete. There's only so many people that we even put on the same stratosphere as Myles Garrett in football as being that type of athlete.
I remember I met Kyrie Irving the first time when he was a rookie. And I remember looking at him on TV and going, that guy is the same height as me. And then we got to do an interview with him and I stood beside him. And listen, he is not, in fact, the same height as me. And I feel like I'm a pretty good averaged 5'11", and I'm 6 foot in these shoes, but like,
yeah,
people don't realize.
There's a reason why those undersized guys aren't really in the NBA.
People don't realize, like, come on, man, look how big Luka is. Look,
who's defending that?
Like, come on, bro. Like Ben Simmons is like 6'10".
These guys play one play, then catch their breath for 40 seconds, and then play another play.
LeBron is 6'8". That just to put in perspective, he weighs comparable to what Myles Garrett is weighing. He's 3 to 4 inches taller.
It's crazy.
And has at his prime had a 40-inch vertical, 45 inches. What are you talking about, Puka Nacua? You're barely running away from people on the football field. What are you talking about? You got to get you 3 more years for the Rams before you start talking reckless. This is reckless.
I was going to say, Puka's been talking a lot more this year.
He did punch a guy in the helmet.
One year in the league, and he's like, I've heard him talk a lot more this year than I ever heard him talk. I didn't even know what his voice sounded like until this year.
You would get the business, bro. And guys, by the way, if you want to see how good professional basketball players are, go Google professional basketball players versus women or versus regular rec guys. They're not missing.
No.
They don't miss. No. Good. Good. That's good too. That's good. Shot hand good. Step back good. Reverse ring around the rosy. It's good. Yeah,
it's
no rim.
Good. Real quick here. Josh and Berea, you got like 30 seconds.
Oh, well, I'll just change my topic. My point is, I agree with you guys. These NBA players, these NFL players thinking they can play in the NBA is ridiculous. Like, put it in perspective this way, too. Watch these guys' warm-up videos or training videos in the summer. Darius Garland has 3 dudes on him, and he's just running around making floaters. And it's like, man, I can't even get out of bed and do this stuff. And I played football, and I know a lot of dudes who played football think they can play basketball. And they would face some little, like, white dude, and they get scored on easy. Easy money. And it's like, what is he? Oh, he's third string on Strongsville basketball. That's what he is. You just got cooked by him. Go back on the line, and let's just relax here. These are supreme athletes.
All right, Josh, appreciate the call, man. Yeah, good stuff. That was well said. That's
third
a good way to end the show.
From Strongsville.
G, real quick, Cavs get to 10-0.
Yeah, easy money tonight.
All right,
easy money.
I agree. 10-0. They beat the Warriors tonight.
Let's
big cook. Thanks to Danny Cunningham. Big thanks to Leroy Horde, for Mitch, for Owen, for G Bush. I'm Spencer German. It's been a fun Friday together.
Don't you blow off Tallboy Friday, Spencer? You better say Tallboy Friday.
Have a great, wonderful, amazing Tallboy Friday. I think Ken and Lamar are off again Monday, but I'll be here in the afternoon. I don't know what else is playing out from there. But thanks for listening, guys. Have a great weekend.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.